Welcome back to the Canadian Gumball Behind the Vault Door. My name is Mark Morali. I'll be your podcast host. Joining me tonight, again, for a fireside chat, none other than Podcast Brian. Thank you so much for being here, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
All right, and Heather. Heather, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hello.
You had something on your phone you were about to hand to me, and I'm going to have a quick look at it.
Two stories related to our supply chain and emergency orders. The first one related to Saskatchewan having the right to seize property, in particular agricultural property, if they choose under emergency mandate.
Whoa!
Yeah. And then the second one relates to our ongoing supply chain issues. You've seen already the ships that are parked and stalled out on the Atlantic coast and on the Pacific. There's actually a graphic there Mark's looking at it. That is just insane. There's so many ships.
Look at that.
So just as we force everybody to shop online, if they can't go in person to a store, now we are slowing down that means of purchasing as well.
So here we are during what has quite possibly been the weirdest 2 years of my life. I'm observing all kinds of things I've never seen before. People often have said to me over the years, like, that'll never happen. Well, because nothing like it ever has. And so now, you know, there are plenty of people out there that will scream conspiracy theory. The moment you mention anything that sounds a little abnormal. But what has really been normal over the course of the last couple of years? Not much. And so here we are, you know, 2 years in, you know, on 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And now, of course, you know, a lot of stores have been hit. You got some big box stores left. You got, you know, the COVID vaccination policy mandate, whatever. And now we've got a bunch of cargo ships parked all around the continent, but seemingly not coming in. And people are beginning to wonder about supply chain and, you know, your ability to buy the things you want in the stores, like not as in, you know, can you afford them, but will they even be there? You know, and this is starting to take on this very eerie, you know, shape. If you haven't been watching over the course of the last couple of years, I could tell you right now, it's been a weird set. I would have never believed some of the things that I've seen. Politically, I've never seen either a larger disaster or a more grotesque display of corruption in government in my entire life. Like, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It's gotten to the point where, like, I don't even blame other countries for laughing at us. You know, the latest gaffe, right? Like, I mean, if you're not paying attention politically, folks, you're missing a great show. To all the young listeners out there, please take in some politics. Go someplace other than the mainstream media to get your news while you can, because they are definitely going to push the envelope on the censorship bill that they're hoping to slam on through. And I could see why. There seems to be no end to the errors, the gaffes, the comedy of errors. You know, intentionally body slamming, you know, this country's economy in the ground, like you name it. The latest is, of course, the special day, right, Heather? What was today?
Yesterday was the Truth and Reconciliation Day for Indigenous people in Canada.
Okay.
So radio stations were quiet. A lot of people, you know, shut down to take a moment to think about the situation for Indigenous people in Canada.
Oh, so this was yesterday. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've only seen it now in the feeds today. So, so Reconciliation Day.
Yeah.
All right, which, you know.
And we all know that Justin is the forerunner and the leader of that movement.
The driving force behind it.
He has definitely been outspoken during debates about how much he cares about our Indigenous people and reconciliation.
He knelt down with the teddy bear at the gravesite. Come on,
right.
he was there for that photo op. He cares.
And he did the flag thing. So there's that.
Well, he also, you know, managed to find the best wave around on that very special day.
Oh, God.
Do you mean that Justin was not meeting with Indigenous leaders yesterday?
No, he made a phone call in between, you know, trips out on the surf and stood on that beautiful beach and had a chat with them and explained that, you know...
Nothing. He said nothing. He was just walking away. Well, hold on. So for the people that aren't completely aware of what's going on, and I'm sure we're going to be called fake news for this.
Right?
Like, honestly, 3 months from now, who knows? Maybe Justin Trudeau will have a committee, a Ministry of Truth decide that he never left to go on vacation.
They'll look into this very
seriously. They'll look into this. And
it'll be run by Rosemary Barton. She'll come to the conclusion that, you know, on that day, he was having himself flagellated with chainsaw chains, you know, in order to feel appropriately bad enough. But no, he was surfing.
He was surfing. Hold on. So the guy that drives this thing, pushes this thing, shows up for all the photo ops, he cares. He gives a shit. We're going to do everything imaginable to make this up, right, to these poor people. And what does he do? He jumps the first bird out of town, doesn't even go to like 1 a.m. He could have shown up at an event for 5 minutes, waved his hands, and nobody probably would have been able to say shit. But instead, he decides he's going to jump on, you know, Canada Force One and go to Tofino and hang out and surf with the family. Come on. Like, I mean, can anybody be this bad?
He doesn't seem to care if anyone sees him doing that. His supporters don't care
because they're all a bunch of hypocritical pieces of shit.
He won the election now, so he doesn't need to impress or appease anyone, even his base. He doesn't care if they see him surfing.
Wow. You know what? So he's out there. I've seen the internet is not very forgiving. No wonder they want to control it so bad. The memes are flying like crazy. There was one I saw of him kneeling like with the teddy bear, but he's thinking about the surfing. But he's on a surfboard and he's riding a wave. And I'm like, oh my God. You know what? If this was any other time in history, they would have tarred and feathered that guy.
Oh, yeah.
This is ridiculous. It's unbelievable to think that anybody could be that bold, that brazen, that arrogant.
Literally, this is like under hubris in the dictionary. There should be a picture of this prick.
Oh my God!
And his whole crowd of acolytes.
Well, let's not call him a prick because that'll probably be defined as hate speech in the next 2 months.
Why would it be defined as hate speech?
It's hateful. It's hateful.
Good.
All right.
This is excellent.
The people in charge of the definitions disagree with you. I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Okay, so everybody that's listening, what you've got to know is that this government has put forward legislation. They really, really tried hard to get it through before the summer, and I can tell why. All you got to do is watch the news feed outside the mainstream media every once in a while, and I don't care who you are. Like, you'll see flashes of the real truth. It's unbelievable. But if you can imagine, Justin Trudeau's trying to now, and he's already indicated that within the first 100 days of his mandate, he's going after censorship in the media. We're talking about regulation of the media and social media more specifically. So that means your private accounts. So if you want to say something, okay, if by some crude, vague, deliberately vague definition of hate speech, you might get roped into like getting yourself in trouble, maybe some fines, who knows? So just imagine a world where somebody gets to decide in a really, really vague way that could cause you a lot of grief, you might actually be guilty of a crime for like thinking something out loud. And I'm not talking about like really nasty shit. I'm just talking about like criticism. I mean, they've already demonstrated, right? And when I say they, I mean, for some strange reason, I don't know, to blame Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Zuckerberg, all these, you know, I don't know, right? All I know is that if you want to get out, something that runs contrary to what the government is saying, you are immediately declared to be a bit of a like public safety risk, that your words have to be taken down because the misinformation is harmful and damaging. And it's like, who decides that? Like, who gets to decide what's okay to say and what's not? Like, I mean, if you say something truly offside, you get held accountable. People hold you account to it. The idea that the cancel culture is out there in full swing, like most people are watching their steps and, you know, cutting their T's and dotting their I's. But like, imagine if somebody who really disliked you, okay, had the power to twist your words and make it anything they wanted it to be. And you could get into a lot of trouble. Like, imagine that. You know, and they'll try and paint it up to protecting artists and promoting, you know, Canadian, you know, music and artists. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a crazy grab for power and information, more importantly. And the idea that we would allow the government to have complete control over the media is absolutely, I don't care who you are, insane. The critics are calling it, like, totally reckless and dangerous, right, to allow this.
We've seen some interesting examples of that, the expansion of that umbrella in the last year or two, because even people who post questions, so they're not making statements, they're not making misleading statements per se or harmful statements, but they have questions. And so if they question something that's not supposed to be questioned, they're being targeted or having their accounts taken down or getting notices or whatever. And we're also seeing when people post CDC published information or information that is published on the WHO website, they repost that on their, say, Instagram account, and then they are shut down. And the funny thing is, we've watched this for long enough now, we've seen those you know, statements and things that were questionable now come to light, and 6 months or a year down the road, it's like, okay, well, that was definitely true. It's fine. Now that's a statement that is safe and it is allowed.
Yeah.
In retrospect, people were punished for that. Yeah. People were punished for actually sharing published, you know, government website information. And then months down the road, they say, okay, it's fine. And the damage is done.
Yeah. And some people lose millions of followers. Yeah. They just erase accounts. I mean, it's frightening to think that you could post the truth and be ripped down so easily. So if you can't, if you don't have the ability to spread the truth, all you have left is what they tell you.
Well, the problem we have is, you have to remember, is that these platforms are all private companies.
I get
this. This is not an open forum of communication. It's a private company, and the private company is pushing its own agendas forward. And you know, like PragerU has called a lot of attention to what Google and YouTube are doing, and of course YouTube's owned by Google, and you know, they're suppressing information. They're suppressing voices. They're shutting down conservative content, and they're, for some reason, they've picked a side on what's going on right now, and they're preventing anyone from getting their message out. So it's you know, it's concerning. But we all have the option to turn it off.
Well, the issue with that, though, is that they want to be both. They want to be a private company. They also want to be considered like news sources.
But they're not.
Right?
They're not news sources.
So the guidelines and restrictions are different for that. If you're a private company, then you can say what people post or don't post. If you're not, then you're liable for what people post, right? So I know I was listening to a lot of really interesting arguments a while ago about liability for them. They're trying to straddle two worlds with their legal responsibility and how they classify themselves.
But that's because they're protected under legislation if they consider themselves a town hall. So under the town hall format, they're, you know, the idea is that everyone gets a say, but they're not taxed in the way that standard media are, and they have certain freedoms to post content that other media can't. So they're playing that game, but then they've chosen sides, and they're also editorializing everything. And beyond that, they're throttling content, they're throttling information, they're canceling people, and they're playing their little games. And the reality is the best thing that could happen to Google and YouTube and Facebook and all those groups and Instagram is that people just get off them and forget about them.
Or a big solar flare.
It would be awesome. It would be outstanding just to put those pricks out of business.
Oh, God.
Join one of the platforms that doesn't throttle content.
Oh,
I mean, if you're
none,
ISIS,
Brian, there's none.
Well, I know they're trying.
No, they
they're
all,
trying,
they
but
all
they can't.
Like come
they
out
can't,
of the gate
yeah,
that way,
yeah.
And then
hold on,
one
hold
by
on.
One.
Hold on. You can't use Twitter that way. It's our platform. We say what goes. Go make your own platform.
Yeah, great.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll go to Parler, and Parler grows at an exponential rate that is so explosive.
What's that you say? You made your own platform?
You made your own platform? It's it's growing so fast, yeah. right, that it threatens to break the machine. And okay, you know what? None of us are going to carry it from yeah. Google yeah. Play yeah. and Amazon. It's like, come on.
Well, Google's almost unassailable, right? I mean, there's just a massive oligarchy now, and then you just can't.
Sure they are.
And now they're arranging so that we'll all have internet content all the time, even in the middle of Siberia and the Canadian wilds, and that's great, except that the content's garbage, and it's controlled by autocratic assholes who've decided that you're going to share their worldview or you're going to get canceled. And you know, it's like, okay, as long as you recognize it for what it is, you're okay.
See,
you know? But if you put all your eggs in that basket and then you get upset when you realize that they're not treating you appropriately, it's like, well, you're dealing with assholes. Why would you expect them to treat you appropriately?
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, I recognize that 90% of the information that comes from these pricks is pure crap.
You know what? I'm alarmed to realize sometimes that a lot of people don't realize that these social media companies use algorithms. They keep people in tunnels, feedback loops, you know, and it's very limited and it's very algorithmic how people are receiving their information. And very controlled, right? And steered. And I mean, sometimes because I hang out with people like you who are aware of this, I think like everyone kind of knows and everyone gets it. And then once in a while, I interact with people who discourage me quite a bit. It makes me think that the bulk of our population actually doesn't know that.
Well,
and again, we don't know if it's the bulk. It's because the problem is we're only seeing what we're being allowed to see, right? And the reality is it's like
we see how they vote.
Yeah, we do see how they vote, but I mean when only a tiny percentage of the population votes and, you know, the rest of them are sitting at home and every person you meet on the street is saying they don't like the government and they don't like the COVID rules and they don't believe what they're being told and they're having second thoughts about the vaccine and, you know, the vaccine itself is, you know, even people who have had the vaccine and they kind of generally believe what they're being taught disagree with the vaccine mandates and the lockdowns and the passports and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, it sounds like a very tiny group of elites are controlling everything. And what's different about that than every other period in history? Like,
yeah,
that's
the
way it's always been.
A lot of people are unhappy with how things are right now, yeah. or maybe even skeptical, maybe even, you yeah. know, concerned, yeah. right? But I do also get the impression a lot of those people don't really question when, you know, headlines and things pop up in their feed or they turn on the TV, whatever's showing, they kind of don't question that might be a controlled narrative.
Well, I personally believe that the Karens and the Chads are controlling everything right now. And, you know, they're a horrible group of people. They're as bad as the Puritans ever were. And their loudness and their aggression and their nonsense are, you know, sort of collapsing the rest of everyone else's common sense.
No offense to Karens and Chads.
What's that?
we're not holding anything against all the Karens and the Chads.
Probably great people. We're sorry.
The Karens and Chads. You know them. They're out there.
Yeah.
They're out there, and you know,
hey.
They're the same ones that, you know, I insist that we recognize the injustices done to the First Nations people of Canada, but then don't have a problem that Justin Trudeau went surfing yesterday. They don't see any, you know, dichotomy there whatsoever, and it's like, okay, you people are completely out of touch with reality. And I got nothing to say to you because I'll tell you, if Stephen Harper had done that, would have run front page across all
Stephen
the
Harper
media.
I wish
Stephen
Harper was cool enough
weeks.
To surf, though, honestly.
It would have cost him his government.
Right? It would have helped him. But you know what? You're right. Like, I come across a lot of people who believe that they are concerned about Indigenous rights, for instance,
sure.
among
who
other
isn't?
Issues.
Sure.
But they are not concerned or even aware of the many Native people in our country who are facing unemployment with, you know, the changes to our energy sector and to our oil and gas industry.
Oh, yeah.
They don't realize that there are tons of Native people who are educated and employed and an integral part of those operations in our country, and it's like it's too much, it's too deep. They want the really simple surface information, whatever the CBC tells them. They don't actually look into our economy and what runs it and what the various Indigenous tribes in Canada are busy working at.
Well, they don't want to talk about the corruption or the theft of resources or the theft of finances. I mean, you know, one of the things that many of the First Nations activists pointed out was that there is plenty of money going to First Nations in this country. It's not getting to the people who need it because it's being stolen because, like the Liberal Party, many of those organizations are run by criminal enterprises. And the money is not getting to where it needs to be. Yeah. And I mean, it's not surprising.
And despite when are people doing really, really well for their communities.
Sure,
and they need to be supported and lifted up.
Absolutely.
But they don't make the news because it's not exciting.
Doesn't sell.
To put on the cover of a newspaper when people are just doing good for their communities.
And when
and
you do
hard.
See a story like that, it's pandering. And it over-romanticizes and panders and it plays down as if this is some kind of special, look, you know, isn't this guy great because he managed to break free? Well, the reality is First Nations people in this country have always been successful, and they've always done amazing things in this country, and they've always been an integral part of the character of Canada, and they have nothing to apologize for. They've been the most incredible members of our society, and you know, I have First Nations blood in me, as many of us do, and, you know, I would rather celebrate their successes than dance around the graves of the failings and the oppression. And the reality is the thing that's pissing Canadians off now is the rest of us are just starting to get an inkling of how First Nations have been treated all along. I mean, the disinterest in their concerns, the removal of their power and of their voice, the removal of the importance of their vote.
Well, these are issues that we trot out every election and then put away again. And that's been called out. It was called out this
election. But we're
all
starting to feel it now.
This was brought up during the debate. It was, Justin was faced with that. And still, my God. And then he has the audacity to go surfing. You'd think he'd make a show or something of caring.
Honestly.
Amazing.
That guy's career has been one giant vacation. Ever since he hit prime minister spot, he's been able to jet off two times in a week. Let's go to Florida. Fuck it. You know what? I don't feel like being here anymore. Yeah. You know what? Oh no, some tough questions have come up. You know what? I'm taking a family day.
The Teflon shitbird.
Oh, the Conservatives have some issues. We're proroguing. That's it.
Right.
When Harper prorogued, he was a bad guy. And when Ford prorogued, he was a bad guy. But, you know,
well,
the minute Trudeau does it, we have to stop all these people.
So we've got, 18 months, guys? Before the next,
18 months, I think.
You know what? I don't even want to talk.
I'm
about
trying to make that sound small.
I don't even want to talk about
it's
the election.
It's
just
a small,
you know
amount
what?
Of
listen,
time, right?
Listen, I am just thinking.
No! Bernie is going to change everything, man. Purple wave.
Unreal.
Purple wave. Yeah.
Ryan and I were talking about this before you got here.
Okay.
I'm curious to know what he's going to do with his tiny morsel of power. He just got a little, backing now. Next election. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, let's make some predictions now.
Well, the Liberals will pour more money into him.
Okay,
what's your most dramatic
prediction for 18 months from now?
Trudeau's going to get reelected, except Trudeau won't be there anymore. It'll be another Liberal piece of garbage who will fuck our country into the ground.
Well, that's
exciting. Yeah, another French fucking lawyer.
A new face.
From Quebec.
Hey, listen.
Hey, rubber boots, Prescott.
Oh, you're going to get done hard.
By the way, I'm French, so go ahead and throw it at me, guys. Go ahead and throw it at me. I'm French. French as they come. I'm as frog eating, cheese loving as they come.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I actually almost shed a small tear when you were talking about the Indigenous populations and their treatment. Honestly, the word I would use, listening to you speak about them in all seriousness, the one word comes to mind when I think of Native Canadians, resilient, right? Like, man, like they've endured some shit.
They're shit kickers, man.
They are
hard ass.
You know what? Absolutely.
Awesome.
So for all the Native Canadians out there that might be listening to this podcast, hats off to you. I tell you, I've had some good fights with you over the years.
Yeah.
As a police officer, I could tell you there are a few things, right, that made me a little more. I was never afraid to fight anybody, but I'll tell you, when you walked in, right, to Boomers on Kenilworth Avenue. And, you know, there was a guy in there that was like 6'8".
And pissed off native guy.
Hold on.
Native biker?
No. You know what? Here I am, you know, a young police officer. I'm not afraid of anything. And quite frankly, my whole life leading up to becoming a cop was like one giant, like, drag race, you know, to live an exciting life. And I'd go into a bar like that, and I'd say, where's the problem? Right? He's over there. He doesn't want to leave. Right? And of course, I go, who? That guy standing up over there? He's like, no, he's in a chair. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So not that little guy.
Do you mean that entire corner of the bar pulled by one person?
That guy, right? Yeah. So you know what? Walk up to the table, and I gotta tell you, right? Walk up to the table, and the guy's head is like at about my neckline, right? And he's sitting down, and I'm thinking, wow, you know what? He looks like 300 and change for sure, right? This is going to be a good fight. And you know, automatically, you know, you think, okay, the guy's been identified as a problem. He's been described to the dispatcher as, you know, somewhat kind of, you know, dodgy in terms of violence levels.
Dodgy.
Right? Nice. So, you know, he's a good guy, but, you know, and so, you know, you go there thinking, well, this could turn into a problem. And of course, you get there, and the guy is built like a mountain. And so you walk up to the table and say, like, I remember approaching this one guy and saying, how you doing tonight? Oh, not bad. Till you showed up. Right, I'm thinking. Okay, right. We're not exactly getting
off. Sorry,
on,
I was just leaving.
Hold on, no. Are you kidding me? No, this could be fun. And I'm looking. I'm saying, you know, you expecting a rough night? No. He's saying. He looked at me. He says, "I just want to finish my beer." And he had a schooner in front of him, right? And he's holding his hand so big. He's holding the schooner like it's a teacup. And he says, "I just want to finish my beer." All right? So I was the kind of cop that said, "Fair enough." Right? How long do you think it'll take you? Oh, a couple more minutes. Right? I sat down in the bar right next to him. Said, "Go ahead.
Finish your beer."
Right, yeah. Finish your beer.
Why not?
Right.
Paid for it.
And of course, I'd be with somebody who would inevitably say, like, you know, is it safe to just sit down to him next slate? Like, you get a new guy. And I'd say, don't do what I do. All right. And so, you know, 5 minutes would go by. He'd down his beer. Right. We'd try and fit him into the largest cab we could find. And, you know, he'd go home and there wouldn't be a fight. There wouldn't be a problem. And,
Mark.
Well, no. You know what? Hey, listen, I've dragged my knees across the ground getting into fights.
Freedom. Guy's fucking free.
You know what?
The guy wants to have his beer.
He wants to have his beer. Right. Yeah. It's past closing time. But you know what? I'm willing to bet this is a good guy. Right, he was actually quite reasonable. I'm willing to bet that he probably spent his fair share of nights bouncing for free. You know, Boomers never had a bouncer, and yet they had their fair share of problems. I could hear through the grapevine, but they never really surfaced in front of the police. Probably because this guy, right, always stepped in because he was a bit of a fixture. So you know what? Give the guy a little more time. He wants to finish his beer. Let him finish his beer. And of course, the owner of the bar, you know, looked at me and said, "Well, aren't you going to take him away?" And I said, "You know what? He's going to finish his beer. We'll stay with him. He won't be a problem. We'll walk him out, right, when he's done his beer." All right. And
they wanted you to be their bouncer. They wanted him beat up for them.
Well, you know what? There obviously had been some sort of dispute, and he was not willing to budge. And hats off to him for standing his ground. He wasn't about to be thrown out over a disagreement, and he was just going to finish his beer. And he wasn't looking for a fight. So, you know, even a guy like me, who gives everyone the benefit of the doubt, can, you know, go into a situation thinking one thing and come out thinking something completely different. That's all I ask of Canada at this point. Keep an open mind. We've got a lot of people that want to say quite a few things about the recent goings-on. All right, we've got so much to talk about. I love these fireside chats, by the way.
Well, you've seen what's been going on with Australia, and you've seen what's happened when a population becomes demure. They allow themselves to be disarmed, and they let the government know that they'll do everything they're ordered to do, and they comply right down the line, and then the government keeps taking and taking and taking and squeezes the friggin' reins really, really, really tight on them, and then people say, you know what, that's enough, we're not putting up with it anymore, and they go out in the streets to protest, and what happens to the disarmed population that now goes out into the streets to protest? The police waltz in, smash the shit out of them like they're fucking stormtroopers in 1925 Germany, just drift grifting people in the faces and grabbing people around the throats.
Yeah, we've all seen crazy videos
slamming them down
right?
to the ground and carrying on like a bunch of fucking fascists. And it's like, you know what, guys? If you want to behave like that, then you reap what you sow. And the end state of this might be something that might be something you would never consider. Because you know what? When it comes time to fight the state, you don't go at it easy. You go at it like the French Resistance. You go at it like MS-13. You get nasty. And, you know, screw those guys. They're going to run out in the streets and strangle people who aren't wearing a mask? Fuck you.
None of those people were expecting this. And I think that's the problem with socialism when these countries bring it in. In the initial honeymoon phase, it seems like
reasonable.
Everything's going
it
pretty well.
It seems reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, and same with Canada, right? A lot of people are not alarmed. They think things are pretty orderly. Things are going pretty well. Everybody in Australia felt the same until it kind of escalated to the next level. And when it does, it happens quickly, and it's alarming.
Well, and they started allowing the health and medical ministries to start dictating policy that affected human and civil rights. And the minute you have, you know, doctors and nurses, well, not even nurses, but doctors and scientists deciding how the people are going to congregate or not congregate and how they're going to behave and what they're going to be able to do, you know, you're into a totally different, that has nothing to do with the Constitution and the bills of rights of these countries. And you know, we have a Charter of Rights in Canada, and we have a constitution, and Australia has a constitution, and they have a different set of rights. And to allow petty bureaucrats to sort of arbitrarily come up with a set of rules that violate those documents. Remember, those documents don't lay out the rights of the citizen. They lay out the limitations of government power. And people are forgetting that. And it's weird to see the cheerleaders screaming that the government can do this and the government can do that and it's all for our safety when the government controls all the information you get. It's just insane to me that people dive in and just believe it like a, you know.
Well, I've had my fair share of debates with some young minds. I think a lot of them are being misled. I'm not sure exactly what American politician said it. For some reason, I want to say it's Marjorie Greene. Does that ring a bell to you?
What did she say?
Well, it was something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing. More or less, there's a special ring in hell for people that mislead the young.
This is from a Bible passage that says it would be better to tie a millstone around your neck and jump into the ocean than harm a child.
Well, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of people are trying to get their opinions and assessments out there to the public. It's being squashed. For those of you that weren't aware of it, like if you're on Instagram or Facebook and you've noticed people messing around with your reach, I mean, that's completely by design. I was talking about that shit like a couple of years ago. You could see them learning how to mess with it. Controlling completely the flow of information is very, very dangerous for like one group to hold that power. The censorship bill definitely is something that should be on everybody's mind. I think that certainly if they're going to push it, people need to be aware of the potential consequences that may flow from these kinds of decisions.
They are really reaching outside of their usual arenas, though, eh? Like you said, Brian, I was really struck this week. I don't know if any of the listeners saw the video of the politician who went to an evangelical church with she has a necklace on that says vaxxed, first of all, which is funny. And she was addressing the congregation in this large evangelical church, and she said basically that this vaccine has been given to us by God, and if you...
Oh, my God.
You know,
oh, yeah.
If you don't support it, then you're denying God. And then she said to the congregation, I need you to be my apostles.
Oh.
I need you to go out and share the gospel. And I mean, like, you know, myself and a number of other people who share this faith were really struck by the, I don't know, multi-leveled heresy involved there. Like, it's just nuts.
Well, you know, they kind of lost me when I think it was de Blasio that was, like, wolfing down a burger and French fries. And he was going, vaccine burgers.
It's so cult-y.
You saw that video by Real Samson where he talks about, you know, his response to Get Vaxxed, the video, and he goes nuts on them and basically says, you know, look, you do what you want to do, but don't tell me what to do. And you can, I hope it all works out and it's all fine, but don't tell me. I don't need it, and don't tell me what to do.
Hey,
you know, if you want me to take the fucking vaccine, you know, don't buy me a burger and fries. Get me a fucking beer. You know? like, what do I look, three?
Oh, God. Well, you know what? Let's do a speed round, right? Hold on. You'll like this one. All right? Speed round. What do you make of BLM, right? Suddenly showing up and protesting alongside, what are they doing right now? BLM's come out of left field.
Percentage-wise, yep. People of color in the States are not getting vaxxed because they're suspicious of the whole thing, as they frickin' should be. Mm. And so BLM is backing them, and they're not getting vaxxed. And the problem is now they're implementing vax passes in a lot of places. And so basically it means if you're a person of color, you can't get served in a restaurant or in a business, and that is a racist issue. It's a Jim Crow law, and BLM has basically identified this as a Jim Crow regulation. It's interesting to me that they say that the standard vax hesitant person is a middle-aged white woman who tends to vote liberal or Democrat. What's that?
They say that?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Abacus
are one of those things did a poll, and they came out that the average person, the biggest group of people who are vax hesitant are middle-aged females, white,
who vote
liberal.
Maybe up until 2 years ago.
No. This is like last month.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I had this conversation with a friend of mine, and she didn't believe me, and I sent her the article. It was in McLean's, and they posted the poll, and she was blown away. And it's like, yeah, but in the States, it appears that a lot of people of color don't trust the government on this, and I don't blame them one bit because, you know, and the reality is for 99% of the population, the vaccine isn't even really an issue. I mean, for about 1% of the population, it is, but for the other 99%, the vaccine is really irrelevant. You know, it doesn't stop spread. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It doesn't stop you, you know, it doesn't do anything. This is a bad vaccine. It doesn't do its job.
When I heard that BLM was starting to really speak out and get active about their resistance to this, I was reminded of that meme, the Lord of the Rings meme, where you're like fighting and he says, I never thought I'd be fighting alongside you.
Well, but think about it. I mean,
you know that meme?
We fought with the Soviets.
It's just like odd bedfellows,
We fought with the Soviets against the Nazis. I mean, the Soviets were friends of ours until 1945, 46, right? They fought with us against the Nazis, and they helped us defeat the Nazis. So I'm not surprised that Marxist BLM people are against this vax, and you know, I support them in that effort. The reality is everything else they stand for, their Marxism and their anti-capitalism and all that nonsense, I don't believe in at all. I mean, you know.
Hey, listen, the battle at hand.
Right? One thing at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I did promise Dave that we would talk at some point about guns as well. He says it's called the Canadian Gun Vault. It can't be politics all the time. And so I know that some of our listeners, really quickly, are interested in hearing something a little more firearm-related. So we got something for you as well. I was going to ask Heather. Heather, you know, of all the firearms, because, I mean, Heather, you've enjoyed the benefit of being around a lot of...
Many.
You know, great collectors, and you've been exposed to a couple of different things to the point where I think you might actually be spoiled. I'm not quite certain at times when you hold things in your hands if you don't realize the historical significance. But like, do you got a favorite?
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it's like, do you realize what you're holding? It's like, you know.
No, because I post pictures and people will say, you know, what is that? And I'm like, just a minute, I'll get back to you. I don't know. Right? I don't know what I was holding.
Well, no, you know, of all the things that you've tried, are there any standouts? Because, I mean, like, you've had a lot of weird stuff thrust into your hands.
You know what? The just going to let that slide. The the heavier stuff that people hand me, I love shooting your that Kunin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You like that, eh? Why? I'm just curious.
Because... So the what one is it that Big Ed has? Is a big 45?
The revolver?
Yeah.
The 460.
The 460. Those ones, like those really heavy hitters, are so fun, and I always work my way up to them with lighter things first. But there's something so fun to me about controlling such a powerful explosion in my hands and then actually hitting the target where I want with it. There's just this little process of dominating and controlling that thing, and then like the boost of confidence and the thrill that I get, and I just love the big boom.
That Kunin and 357 Magnum throws those wild hoops or cones of fire at times. There have been a couple of photographs taken of the Kunin in action with some H110 home loads that look like they threaten to set the target on fire. Like sometimes that thing barks out like a big plume of muzzle blast, and as it's burning in the air, that bullet rips through it at about 1650 feet per second. It's like a 125 grain pill, and it pulls the blast inside out, and it throws it downrange.
Yeah.
It's like a Star Wars video game at times when you're pulling the trigger on that thing. It's really an exciting shooter.
It's fun to watch, fun to shoot.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I'm impressed with myself when I manage to keep a gun like that steady.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of the thrill for me, is just like battling with myself, because I'm not the strongest.
No.
To manage these things and to shoot them well is really fun. It's like a personal challenge for me.
Three 357 Magnum is an exciting round to shoot. I've always enjoyed pulling the trigger on it. A lot of people have. Over the years, I've tried Pythons. I've had a number of guns.
Shotgun pistol.
The shotgun pistol is another game altogether. That people don't know that shotgun pistol video that we did a couple of years back. It hit like 4 million views, and that was something we threw together in a minute after a long day's shoot with me out in the cold and getting wet. And so that anybody that ever criticized me and said, what a wimp, he's shaking his hand. Let me tell you, it was like minus 20 that day, and I was at the tail end of it. But so you like the Magnum handguns. What about rifles? Right.
Rifles. Oh, okay. No, you're gonna have to help me. What is the rifle that Brent has with that big silver barrel on it?
It starts
with an R.
Is it Remington 700? It's definitely like a long range platform.
A Ruger?
He's got that Ruger Ranch, right?
Now that I love, because it's super accurate, so it makes you feel like a rock star.
Yeah.
When you shoot it, you hit the bullseye, and you're like, oh my God, I'm a freaking queen, man. I'm amazing.
It's really interesting. That actually was a home load that Brent put together for it, and he used a slightly heavier bullet than normal, and he put together a recipe like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like that gun should not group,
but it's like
that.
It's smooth to operate too. It feels really comfortable. It doesn't have a lot of recoil, and it's accurate, so that just is a nice combination.
Well, it's one or the other. I think now that I think about it, it's either that Remington 700 he has with that gigantic barrel, or it's the Ranch, which is the short. Is it, do you have a short barrel or a long barrel?
No, long. The bigger barrel.
Yeah.
He's got two that are similar, and it's the bigger one.
Oh, what did you think of that Remington Model 8? That was that one that it was in the storyline. I put it in the storyline not too long ago. It was that one with the
antique-y looking one.
The one you were hitting the plate. You ended the video by saying that like it's really satisfying hitting those.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And that one, it didn't kick at all, so that was really comfortable to shoot.
Yeah, you know,
surprisingly.
I actually watched you come along as a shooter. You've come a long way. You're definitely one hell of a target shooter.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you've really done well and excelled, and honestly, I'm proud as punch at how far you've come.
I love it. Yeah. I've always been into individual sports because I compete with myself, so hitting targets and noticing that I get a little better each time and picking up tips from all the people who are around me who give me advice and tell me how to tweak things here and there, it's really satisfying.
Well, you know what? You've definitely come a long way. I'm looking forward to big things. I'm looking at the time, and I'm definitely feeling the pinch of a long day. But I got to thank you, Brian, so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
All right, great times. I'm sure it's not over yet. We're going to have a great conversation, I'm sure, afterwards.
This fire is still nice this and fire,
this isn't
fire
it?
It's really nice. And Heather, thank you again for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
All right. Okay, folks, we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to us on YouTube and on Instagram. And as always, Canada, don't forget to shoot straight. Stay safe.